From Luke's Gospel in chapter 11, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Our scripture begins this morning with Jesus praying in a certain place. Now, many of us familiar with the New Testament readings of scripture understand and receive the message that at pivotal moments in Jesus' life, he accompanied those with prayer. At his baptism, as he was praying, the scriptures tell us that the Holy Spirit came down upon him in bodily form as a dove. He was in prayer as he gathered at the garden with his disciples, just as his ministry began in prayer, just as he was about to go forth to the cross of Calvary, he gathered once more for prayer. It's a reminder for us that throughout his life, when he needed the most counsel, the most wisdom, the greatest strength from his Father above, he accompanied that with petitions of prayer. And I don't know about y'all, but at times in my journey, that's when my prayers are greatest. When I need God the most. When I'm in trouble. When things aren't going my way, or I have a big decision to make, or I'm looking for direction for my life, for business, for church, I realize then I need to get serious about prayer. But I think as we consider that Jesus was passionate about prayer at pivotal moments in his life, he also practiced something else. He prayed often. He prayed without ceasing. He prayed always. And as our scriptures say today, he also prayed in a certain place. When I hear that way, the way it's expressed here by Luke, I'm reminded that it wasn't just a nonchalant location for Jesus. It was a specific location that he found solace in prayer. In other words, he was intentional. You know, many of us have heard of the Pokemon phenomenon grasping our nation. Pokemon's made the sermon today. And many have been trying to catch them all, right? And I don't know about y'all, I have yet to search for or catch a Pokemon. But Luke and Noah Hill have become very accomplished at it. And one thing they found is there are certain hot spots, right? There are places where there seem to be more Pokemon than others. Is that correct? We have a few hot spots around our community here. Just last night as we were leaving VBS, we pulled out of the parking lot, headed to the library, and Manya stopped the car, and I didn't know what was wrong. The car across from her stopped the car, and I thought, what's going on? Is this some kind of standoff? They're trying to figure out who's going? After about a 10-second delay, she drove on. She phoned me and said, that was a Pokemon hotspot. We were catching the Pokemon, and so was the other car. When we were in Columbus, Georgia recently for my nephew Connor's graduation from basic training, we went to an outside mall area. When we first arrived, I sent a text to the family and said, I think there's 200 people out here chasing Pokemon. I later upped it to 500 people. Before we left, I said, there's 1,000 people out here because this is indeed a hot spot for Pokemon. So young folks, if you want to find them, what do? You go where they are. You become intentional, right? Well, if that's true in Pokemon, that is certainly even more true in prayer. Where do we go to pray? We go to the hot spot. We, like Jesus, go to that certain specific place where God is sure to be found. We gather in worship. We become intentional. We make an effort and we gather with the saints of the faith in a place that is set aside especially to talk, but most importantly, to listen to God. I'm intrigued by the question of the disciples. And the title of that group in itself, disciples. They ask Jesus, they plead with him, Lord, teach us to pray. And how do we as Christian people, as people of faith, also learn how to pray? I think the words of those disciples are a great lesson for us. Disciples, the word that came from that is discipline. They were structured. They were disciplined. They were adamant in their pursuit to follow Jesus. And so it is for us. As we seek to pray, as we yearn to learn, we must become disciplined in our efforts. Just as we want to be a better band in school, better athletes, better in our profession, we have to practice our trade to learn and grow in that discipline. Earlier this week, I took my dad and Noah to the airport. They're making a grandfather-son trip up in the Northeast. They're taking in baseball games at various stadiums. And as we were driving, we let Noah have the wheel in Memphis. Now, wasn't that an adventure? And he could hardly drive for Dad and myself giving him instructions. Watch that lane. Now, you need to be careful. You can't just watch the lane right beside you, but you have to watch the lane beside that one that's beside you. And he asked us where to exit. We said, read the signs, take airways. Well, he started to go the wrong way on airways. We said, no, you got to go the correct way on airways. He finally got distracted, frustrated, and said, y'all just don't think I know how to drive at all. And our response was this. My response was, Noah, I think you're a great
driver for the amount of experience you have. He didn't buy it. He said, you still don't think I'm a good driver. I said, son, it's like hitting a fastball or curveball. You don't stand in the batter's box and hit that curveball the first time you see one, right? You have to do it often and more often. You have to practice the discipline to get good at it. Driving in Memphis and going through airport traffic, you don't feel comfortable the first time you do it. But the more repetition we spend, the more comfort we receive, the more intentional and effortless our prayers become. We had an education meeting this week. We were talking a bit about prayer, and Lynn and Ann and I were discussing how little Eli Brooks is a young man but very comfortable with prayer. Why? Because he's prayed. He's learned the discipline. He's put in the practice. And so it is, as the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. He's teaching them not only by what he says, but also by what he does in our scripture today. He first goes to a certain place, but he also goes there often. Friends, that's the model for us. For us to be people of prayer, it's to be intentional in the location and the timing of our prayer. And Jesus also gives them these familiar words that we say here on a weekly day in prayer when we pray the Lord's Prayer ourselves. What I'm grateful for that's often overlooked in the model of the Lord's Prayer is the way it's structured. It begins with praise. Begins with those words of adoration that say, hallowed be your name. Praise to God and thanksgiving, followed by considering their own brokenness, their own sinfulness. Forgive us our debts, or forgive us our sins. You, O God, are holy, in other words, and we are not. Forgive us for our shortcomings. All of that, the adoration, the praise, the confession, all of that is stated in prayer before they ever ask God to intercede in their life in the Lord's Prayer. Then comes the prayer of supplication. Then comes the prayer of asking God to give the daily bread, to sustain us in our needs. But first, we consider God's holiness and our brokenness. And then it helps us more fully to request God's fullness in our life. You know, don't you find it beautiful that that's the very way our order of worship is structured here? That as you go into any of our churches, you'll find this same and similar structure. Shirley Huddleston brought back a bulletin for me from North Carolina from where her family worshiped. The order was the same. It began with praise, as our Lord's Prayer does, a call to worship, as we do here in worship. Our hymns of praise, we begin by adoring and praising God. And then we follow that with confession and the spirit and model of the Lord's Prayer. And then we seek a word from God. We ask Him to supply us with His holy word through the sermon and through the opportunities to give. That's the model of the Lord's Prayer. That's the structure of our worship. And to remind me, I often use, some of you will find this comfortable too, this model that Jesus gave, I often apply that to an acronym called ACTS, like the book of Acts. It reminds us the structure of the prayer, of the Lord's Prayer, and of our prayer life. A, we began our prayers with adoration. Praise unto God. C, confession. We move forth from our adoration into confessing our sin to God. T, we thank God for the gifts He gives us in our life. And finally, after we've considered everything God has already done, then we ask God to supply our needs. We pray for supplication. When you hear that big word in the Bible, when it says, with prayers and supplication. What does that mean, asking in prayers of supplication? It's asking God supplication to supply our needs, to be for us what we're not. That's the model of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gives us here today. And you know, as I think about the need, and as we spoke of in our children's time, the power of prayer, it's especially true, yes, for all of us individually. It's the greatest prayer that we have for our family decisions, for our professional directions and plans in life and teaching and learning as students and educators. Prayer is the great stream and power from on high, where Jesus goes forth in our scripture today and he says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. You see, in every one of those instances, God, friends, answers our prayers. We always get an answer. Don't you find that reassuring? Now, sometimes the answer is not the answer we wanted. Sometimes the answer of our prayer is not when we wanted it. But God always answers and hears our prayer. Isn't that reassuring? In the world of constant communication, don't you feel inundated by information at times? Those of you who email, don't you get a bunch of junk email at times? And sometimes your computer is smart enough to just send it onto the junk file and you don't even have to see it. You don't even have to read it. But then at other times, and I've got to confess here, if you're like me, you get those and you never open them. And you certainly don't acknowledge them. You don't call them back. Or what about any of us? Have we gotten a call on our answering machine from a telemarketer and say, call me back if you want to talk about this great deal? And we don't call back. We all are guilty of that at times. We don't respond. We don't, in other words, answer. But friends, know this. God is never too busy. God always answers. There is no junk mail in heaven's email system. God hears and answers. You know, I had a friend tell me once that the model of God answering prayer in our life is that God gives us His providence, the gifts that we don't even ask for. God gives us His grace, the gifts that we don't deserve. And God gives us His mercy, the things we don't deserve. God answers. God hears. So as people of faith, we are called to pray. You know, as we consider the brokenness in our nation, the tension in our land, we yearn and we seek for healing. We pray for God's wisdom during the election process and the leaders of our nation and our state, our governing bodies. We hunger for restoration. As I consider the brokenness of our own nation, I think back to the brokenness of the people Israel. As King Solomon ascended to the throne, it was a time of great economic peril for the people Israel. Did you know that? Their villages had been desolated. Many of their cities had been left in shambles. And here, as Solomon began his reign, you know how he began it? He began it in prayer. He said those familiar words when God said, what would you have me give to you? And Solomon didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for strength. He didn't ask for long life. He asked for wisdom and knowledge in prayer. And you know how Solomon responded after the first few years of securing his border and sustaining his strength and protection of his people? He spent the next 20 years. You know what he spent the next 20 years doing? Building the temple. Preparing a place for his people to pray and grow in faith in God. And then after 20 years, then he started rebuilding the villages, strengthening the cities, restoring the land. Friends, the hope for our nation, the hope for strength in our land is in the spirit of King Solomon, who humbled himself in prayer and said, God, will you do what we cannot? Will you, O Lord, be what we are not? Will you give us the wisdom? Will you hear our prayers? Will you restore our faith? You see, Solomon, as he built the temple and built his home palace, I'm reminded it begins first by placing the restoration of our land. It begins by placing our faith in God. Then we restore our families in the spirit of Solomon by building his own home. We begin with our faith, then we work at home, and then we work with our friends and restore our community. That was the order of restoration for Israel. And God accompanied it all by answering and hearing their prayers. May we become even more a praying nation, a praying family, a praying individual as we seek the certain place of God, often and always. In Jesus' name.